It is a known fact I came here not looking for a boy, but for a man.
Everybody take a seat.
So today we're going to put them to the test. Really excited for today's date. I'm looking for a grown-ass man, okay?
This week on The Bachelorette, we went to a school? Who could have seen that coming? Plus, there was some wrestling, a new villain, a lot of fighting, and finally, some Dr. Joe. Let's batch.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. We are here today to talk about some grown-ass men. Or are they?
Woo! And
I am joined by Brett Bergara. Hi, Brett. How are you?
Hello. I kind of like jumped in. I jumped the gun a little bit. I
was, no problem.
You were like doing the setup and I just ran in.
You're a real Bennett, you know, jumping the gun, trying to get some time
to
talk.
Yeah, no, exactly. Listen, yeah, you got to take advantage of all moments. So, yeah, it's me.
Brett, would you classify yourself as a grown-ass man?
You know, I feel like if you call yourself a grown-ass man, it's kind of like if you call yourself a nice guy. It's like as soon as you call yourself that, I feel like it invalidates it. Yeah, I feel like it invalidates it immediately. So I'm going to say no, although I try my darndest to be.
I wish I had done a counter. I'm going to do this for the B-side this week of the number of times I said grown man. It was like the theme of the episode was grown man, but it was like the most overwrought theme possible. It was just a lot. We'll talk all about the grown man challenge. Of course, there was Chasen and Ed. Chasen versus Ed, I should say. And then the wrestling date, which that's just a lot to discuss. But again, let's start with the grown man challenge. Although actually before that, I was like very confused. I was like, where do we leave off? And is there a rose ceremony coming? Wasn't that weird?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when they've brought Tayshia in, it's just really disrupted the rhythm of how the show is. Yeah. And I think we'll eventually course correct, but it's like, I kind of feel like we sort of drove around an iceberg and now we're just like driving the ship like left and right, trying to, you know, just find balance, and we'll eventually get to the point where it's a standard episode that we think of. But yeah, it's a little there's a lot of like whiplash that I'm feeling in the structure.
Yeah, like one rose ceremony in the middle of the episode. Three guys went home. I think they were all new guys. It was Montel. It was another guy whose name was like, I can't remember. It was like Charles he's also from Boston. And one other guy too, who I'm blanking on right now, but I was just like, okay, none of these guys even spoke on the show. And just like, why did they even come?
They show up for, you know, like 1 week. If that, you know, that's the thing. I don't even really know how long they've been here.
I know.
It's like, well,
all right. Enjoy the flight home, guys. At least you don't have to quarantine anymore.
No,
although, you know, when you leave a reality show, like, or any kind of like contained environment, you're like, yes, I get my phone back. Or like, oh, I can do all this stuff. When you leave The Bachelor, it's like, okay, you do get your phone back, but like, then what else? Like, they're still just have to quarantine, but at home or something.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, like, if you're someone in the very beginning, I guess, you know, I guess like there is that craving to get your phone back, no matter who you are. Even if I'm like away from my phone for a couple of hours, I'm craving it. So there's probably that same level of just wanting to see what's going on with the world. But if you're eliminated first week, you know, it's like, you're not going to have like the same fever awaiting you. You know, if you're like a final four contestant, you know, you're going to really want that phone back and see like, all right, how many followers do I have now? What are like the tabloids writing about me, all that sort of thing. You can really jump into
Does Reality Steve know about me yet?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what's his take, you know?
Seriously, we're going to talk about reality Steve and the other Bachelor rumors that are swirling at the end of this episode. But let's get into the Grown Man Challenge, finally. First of all...
Sounds good.
Grown Man Challenge, two things really jumped out at me at first. First of all, they were in a school. And I was just like, did they bring desks into La Quinta? But I think no. I think they went to a school. What did you think about that location? Did it catch your eye?
You know, now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, like that's a little weird. And it's weird that I didn't catch it while watching. I mean,
well, it was a classic Bachelor date.
Yeah, maybe at like La Quinta Resort, they you know, it's like a really they got the works. You know how like some hotels they have like this kind of room for a conference, and this, you know, maybe they just have like a little baby school in La Quinta. They just have the works. But I think it's more what you're thinking. Yeah. I think it's more what you're getting at. Where I definitely think there's a theme as we've even gone along in Claire's season, especially with Tayshia coming on, where we're starting to see the producers pushing the bounds of what we thought their bounds were when it came to COVID. You know, I think we initially thought it was all going to be at the resort, but then you even see these clips that are coming up in the season later on where they're definitely not at the resort anymore. So it's like, oh, yeah. So like, are we just like, how is this? What are the semantics here? How are we doing this?
Yeah. So I think they did go to a school. I was just like, there's no way they brought in desks and chairs like that. They were so specific to the educational environment. I was just like, they have to be at a school. I was surprised by that, but it also made sense. It was July or August. Yeah. Like, school is not in use.
I mean, yeah, I guess you can just like barge on in and, you know, no one's really been there for a while, so may as well take advantage.
I know, it's like already COVID free. What's your feeling on Bennett? Like, I feel like some people really like him. Like, there's obviously the Harvard thing that was played for last this week. Before the episode, what was your feeling on Bennett?
You know what I feel like about Bennett? I think Bennett is essentially like John Paul Jones's older brother. That's the vibe that I get. He has like a very JPJ energy to him. Just like, instead of surfer bro, you know, maybe JPJ went out to, I'm now blanking on any sort of California college, but he went to
Pomona,
whatever.
Occidental.
There you go. He's the one who went over there. And then, you know, good old Bennett over here went to Harvard. And that's just like East Coast version of JPJ and just like the way he handles himself. So he has like this weird energy that's hard to read. And I will say, I think I'm more pro Bennett, especially as the season progresses. But this episode definitely was like a, it's like, I don't know like how to read you. You know?
I know.
It's, he definitely is a character.
There's a real Bennett tension, I feel like. First of all, I just want to say I remain pro Bennett. This week, a little bit less so, but in general, I'm pro Bennett. As for the JPJ comparison, I see it. They both have like a square jaw, white guys, kind of tall. But Bennett just seems like so much more fun. Would you ever want to hang out with JPJ?
No, you're right. You're very right. No, I will not. And, you know, granted, I do also have like a Derek bias. Like I'm like friends with Derek. So I feel like JPJ was like enemy number one in my book. But that aside, I also do agree where Bennett just seems, I don't know. I mean, he seems smart, maybe not on this week, you know, this week's date.
Yeah,
and
bad at math.
Yeah.
Well, I just think JPJ, I never really got it. I mean, I guess him and Tayshia, like they had something, I don't know. But like JPJ is like good for laughs on Bachelor in Paradise. And like, I guess for saying his name over and over again on The Bachelorette. But like, I would never want to hang out with JPJ. I will say I did email him asking to interview him. And he was like, thank you for your email. I will not be participating in interviews at this time. Thank you very much, John Jones. He didn't even write John Paul Jones.
And he's trying to shift brand a bit.
He responded quickly.
I do like Bennett, but he's one of those people that I like him from afar. I don't know if I would be able to vibe with him in person. I feel like one, I would be very intimidated because he's a very good looking man.
Very handsome.
He's a very Supermanish kind of energy to him.
I don't know.
I think I would be intimidated in his presence a bit, but I do like his, unpredictability from afar.
I'd like to meet Bennett. Bennett and Tyler Cameron were having dinner together. I will say they were having dinner inside, no masks. I know that's legal and allowed. I just don't know that I'd be comfortable hanging out with them after that. However, I noted that they were having dinner together.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, everyone has a different level of COVID comfort, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not judging. My COVID comfort is I would not like to hang out with them after their meal indoors, no masks. That said, I was jealous that they were hanging out together.
Well, I think too, like, I don't even necessarily have, it's like the act itself, you know, like people, there are different precautions in different states. Although I think we're now getting more and more as the November and December progress and after the holidays and all that. You know, but like that, them getting dinner together, whatever, but it's more the fact that they've both been clearly like kind of jet setting a bit. And then it's like, oh, let's get dinner with this person. And that's the part where I'd be like, all right, you know, I don't really know
again
how often you do this.
Just about your own personal comfort. I'm not trying to judge.
Yeah,
it's just, I wouldn't feel comfortable. Seems like being indoors without masks is a major way of spreading COVID. So
yeah, it's anyway. A wild time to say the least. Yeah.
It really is. Anyway, Bennett. So the grown man challenge, Jared and Ashley were there. Both looked fantastic. Just thriving in COVID. I thought that like it's like the best I've seen either of them looking in quite some time.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Jared had the long hair thing going anyway, but now I feel like I'm noticing it more with like, because now I think I'm trying to emulate it a little bit. I mean, this is a podcast, so you can't see what I'm trying to do, but for the listeners, I have grown out my hair a little bit. I'm trying to go for a little bit for the Jared. So I feel like I'm honestly more going for the Jason Tardik.
Oh, but, sure.
You know, the Jared is like an intermediate step to get there. But yeah, no, I noticed the same thing. So
love Jason Tardik and like Jared and Ashley a lot too. I was happy to see them. Good first Bachelor Nation guests. And they explained this is a really classic Bachelor date or Bachelor, really more Bachelorette date where it's like a series of competitions to like see if you would be a good husband and father or whatever. And then it was very classically Bachelorette. Like they'd done stuff like this before. Like they did they did something similar, I think on like basically every season I can remember, Rachel's season, Becca's season, Hannah's season. And then they introduce a MTV challenge aspect of it with like really basic spelling and math, which is honestly always great on reality shows. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gave us the opportunity to make fun of Bennett because he messed up spelling the word limousine and he couldn't do like the math problem solving, which like I just want to say was a little hard. If they're just like saying it quickly, like it's obviously all the other guys got it, so it wasn't that hard. But I kind of get it. Like he like tuned it out for a second or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think if I were in that date, even though I feel very capable watching at home of all of those challenges, I think in the moment I would get in my own head and write something real dumb. So I do empathize with it. Also, listen, maybe we can, with the time question, maybe he was just like being gentlemanly and he wanted to give like 10 extra minutes, you know, maybe that was it, you know, benefit of the doubt. He seems like a gentleman that would do that. So clearly that was it.
It's true. He was just trying to be courteous
and chivalrous.
Everyone was like really talking a big game about Bennett's like smart because he went to Harvard. And I also just like, I want to say two things about Harvard. One, the people I know who went there, I like a lot. So that's number one. Number two, Harvard's been disgraced in many ways. So like, what's the big deal? It's kind of like what Joakim Noah said about Cleveland. What's the big deal about Harvard? There's been plenty of ways in which it's been disgraced. And like, I think we can stop venerating it so much, people, you know? Just like very traditional.
Yeah, well, that's
thinking.
Like why you have to be like very careful about revealing that you went to Harvard, because you're just gonna, it's a high bar. Listen, you're setting yourself up for failure. Unless you really feel like you can match it consistently, you're setting yourself up to fail. Because as soon as you slip, it's like, oh, sorry, Mr. Harvard. Guess you don't know everything.
I felt that Ivan and Dr. Joe were being really underestimated in this competition. Yeah. Ivan is an aeronautical engineer, which is like really impressive and have to be good at math.
Yeah.
And Dr. Joe is a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist. Yeah. Like why aren't people talking up these guys?
Not only are they being slept on in this challenge, but just like in general. I do feel like we find, you know, and we'll get there, you know, later on in the episode, but I did love not so much Ivan, but I feel like this was really like Joe's episode where we finally got to see him shine a little bit more.
Leads me to believe he's getting sent home next week, but that's okay. I was really glad to get Dr. Joe while
listen, all he needs is enough time to have an audition for Paradise. That's all we need. And then we're good.
I have two things about Dr. Joe, just a brief aside. We will get to him more later. But first of all, is it better to have a thriving career as an anesthesiologist or go to Paradise? And second of all, how does a doctor take off a month or whatever it is in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, I mean, the pandemic question. Wait, what kind of doctor is he?
He's an anesthesiologist. That's an all the time doctor. Okay. And also, I think anesthesiologists were particularly necessary to administer ventilators and stuff.
Yeah. Wait, so does he have his own practice? Do we know that level?
I believe he works at a hospital here in New York City. He was in 2018 voted like best resident or something like that. So he's a talented man and he's on The Bachelorette in the middle of the pandemic. Just asking questions here.
Yeah, no. You listen, I feel like you bring up valid concerns and I feel like it's going to be a little tough for him to get the Paradise time off, but I guess we'll see. I do get the why not both attitude of like, hey, if I can swing both, you know, he probably has like enough money. He doesn't even need to worry about that anymore. So it's just like for funsies, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. So I hope that the world will make it happen.
I do like him. I also just want to say thank you to all of the doctors, healthcare workers, and essential workers who are working really hard. And on the flip side, perhaps Joe needed a break after a very, very arduous few months at work. I'm just asking questions. I'm not judging at all. Anyway, back to this date. So Bennett messes up. He seems like he's at the bottom of the barrel. And of course, then they get to like making breakfast in bed. Like the final part of the challenge is to make breakfast in bed for Tayshia. Super weird. Like, it just didn't really like go together, but okay. And Bennett somehow gets his hands on a robe, takes his shirt off, puts the robe on. Instead of like bringing food to Tayshia, he just gets in bed with her. And it's like a very like cozy, tender time in front of 10 people. And he seals the deal with that. I think he kissed her in front of all the guys as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, listen, the man's can rock a robe, I will say. We can analyze whether it was the quote unquote right move, whether it was like too much. But like, listen, he pulled it off. So, you know, more power
to him. I liked
it.
That's how you make moves on The Bachelorette. I'm sorry, I'm a Bennett apologist, but I liked it. Like, you know, you gotta make a name for yourself. And if it's not through spelling limousine correctly, I don't know. What else is he supposed to do? Also, like, there's just a fun way to do that. And then there's the chastened way to do that, which is like, just take a shirt off and say, like, you can have me for breakfast or whatever.
Yeah. And then it's just like a big sigh and you're like, oh God, like, you know what's again, we'll just like a brief aside and then we'll get into it later. But you know, chastened, I think it's because there were people like Sarah Coffin from like the last season who I guess know him. And, you know, it's like, I kind of like trusted her take on chastened. He's like, oh, he's like the best guy, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, this is not like what I was expecting out of chastened. So maybe we're going to right that ship eventually. But yeah, like the whole take the shirt off move in this date. And then, you know, what we'll get into later. I'm like, chastened, what are you doing? Like, come on, buddy.
Super weird. Yeah. Just a few more. Well, we do need to talk about that. Just a few final things about this grown man challenge. My main takeaways were justice for Ivan. I just feel like he's being overlooked in the and in the fight. He just is like still my favorite.
Ivan's my favorite too. Good taste, Julia. Good taste.
Thank you, Brett. You too.
Thank you.
And this has been controversial. She says to Ben during the cocktail party this date, how and why are you single? This is a question she's asked before. It's a variation on the question she's asked before.
Yeah.
Brett, is this an acceptable question to ask either in real life or on The Bachelorette or both?
It's very funny. As someone who is currently dating, you know, I've gotten this question before too. And I just don't really see like when people ask that question, what like they're looking for the answer to be, you know, and like, you know, it's like, oh, it's like, I'm single because I'm a psychopath. So you probably should steer clear. It's like, what are people thinking they're going to get out of that question beyond like just bullshit galore? I mean, I guess you might be able to be like, oh, you know, I was so focused on work. And then I finally decided I wanted to make time for meeting the person I was going to fall in love. You know, you're teeing them up to give you that answer.
Yeah. Invites cliches. It's a good point. Also, like, do you want someone to psychoanalyze themselves for you on like your second date? I don't think so.
You know what I will say? I do think there's something when you say psychoanalyze themselves, maybe it's like kind of how when you're interviewing for a job, they sometimes ask you questions that are just like real batshit and have no correlation to what the actual role is, just to see like how you react under pressure. It's like, are you capable of self-analysis and introspection, you know, and all of that, versus like, do you just like falter entirely? I did like the how and why.
How
just
and
like,
why, yes.
That little addition, it's like, oh, really throwing them off there.
I know, like, what's the difference between the answer that you would get from how and from why? And also, like, that's just a great point. What does she want them to say? Yeah. Like, what's the normal answer? Like her, like, I'm divorced, or like Brendan, like, I'm divorced, or
yeah.
I don't know. What's your take on Ben? We got a lot of a heavy dose of Ben this week.
I like Ben a lot. And I'll say, like, so Ivan's my favorite. I think Ben has been a bit of a dark horse, mm-hmm. you know, like I haven't really seen like a ton of them, but yeah, I think this was the episode where I was awoken to Ben. Like, oh yeah, he's like a cool guy. I like him. He seems like very cool.
I think based on this episode, we have to assume Ben is a front runner because nothing of note happened with Ben. And yet we got a lot of Ben. Ben seems to have replaced many of the other guys as the narrator. We got her talking to the producers, just being like, there's something about that boy. And then the episode ends with a Ben cliffhanger, basically, where she's like upset that Ben didn't come to her earlier in the night. Yeah. Ben, the night's over, as if they could never break the rules. That was hilarious. So
yeah,
I think we have to assume that Ben is one of her favorites, because otherwise there's no explanation for why he's on the show so much.
No, I think that makes sense for sure. But I really like him a lot, so I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah, I like him too. He seems like a nice guy. Also seems like a good match for her. I just feel like a veteran who lives in Venice is like exactly who Tayshia should be dating.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Seems
Listen,
good
I'm chipping it already.
You're chipping it. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. Chasen versus Ed. I was just like, my first note to myself was, where did this storyline come from? I was so confused.
Yeah. No, it just felt like very random, you know, and also too, like, I couldn't really actually remember if we've really gotten that much from Ed. I mean, I know we have, but I kind of forget. Not.
We've gotten very little Ed.
Yeah. And like, it was like, I was just so annoyed with Ed, even though I feel like he's probably a nice guy. I was just like annoyed with him because it did kind of seem like he was. His criticisms of Chasen didn't really make a lot of sense to me in the beginning, but then how Chasen reacted to those criticisms is like, well, that doesn't look good either, dude. Like, what are you doing? But like one of the lines was, oh, you use the same adjectives to describe Tayshia as Claire. It's like, all of you do.
I know.
It's like, what is this? We're going to, you know, sorry, you don't have your phones and you can't like go on and look at up synonyms for like beautiful. Yeah, no, right. You know, it's like, you're all saying the same version of like beautiful, kind, smart, like get the out of here, sir.
And then Chasen does like a big reveal to the camera. I died. This was so funny. His big reveal was like, he's like, I have a new term. Or I got a new way of putting it. Tayshia's a smoke show. And he was so proud of himself. And he says smoke show so many times after that. Is smoke show acceptable? They were like, you're such a child. She doesn't want to be called a smoke show. I don't think that's like an insult.
So I've thought about this a lot now. Well, also too, I very much agree with how funny the presentation was because it almost was like the same exact tone of voice that someone would announce that they've decided to go home, where it's like, guys, I just want to get everyone together. I've really done a lot of thinking and Tayshia's a smoke show. That was the exact delivery. And so here's my take on smoke show is context is everything, right?
Okay.
You know, so smoke show, if you're walking down the street and see a woman you don't know, call her a smoke show. Not cool. Not cool at all. If it's someone that you're describing, say like I'm talking about, you know, some person that I have a crush on with you. And then I'm like, oh yeah, she's like a total smoke show. That's like a little like, like, I don't know. It just feels like a little weird, but I think it's a cute term for someone you're dating. And I know that we're in like loose terminology there with this.
So like, are you saying Chasen and Tayshia are dating?
In this context, yes. I mean, they're all dating Chasen. You know, so like that's, sure. they have this like degree of mutually, you know, reciprocated pursuit, right? So I think in that lens, it's like this cute thing. But I will also put an asterisk on that. I like how I have like a dissertation on this.
I know, I appreciate it. This is what I was looking for.
I'll put an asterisk on that. You know what? I will do a callback to Big Ass Eyes, where I think if you say it once, and it's like, I think it's really effective because it's really out there. It's not just beautiful. It's not cute, you know? So if you just kind of say it off the cuff where it's like, oh yeah, you're a total smoke show, then it's like disarming and I think charming in that way. But if you are like Chasen and say it multiple times throughout the night, week, whatever he wants to end up doing with this word, then it starts, there's a curve where you use it once,
returns.
Really effective. Yeah. Diminishing returns on Smoke Show. So yeah, that's my full thesis.
Here's where I net it out. I think Smoke Show is something that you can say to Tayshia when you're alone together to like, you know, like just calling her. I don't even know. I don't even know how to use it in context. Not something that I've said really to someone's face, but I feel like for Chasen, he could say it to Tayshia and be like jokingly, like, why you look like a smoke show tonight. Saying it about her repeatedly to a producer into the camera, not what you want. Just not what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it starts getting like really bro-y really quick.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't know if I like that.
And it's funny you say that because Chasen just really reminded me of someone who would have been friends with Stephen Coletti on Laguna Beach, like back in the day. Mm-hmm. He could have just been down talking about Kristen on the beach after surfing, after school. Did you watch Laguna Beach?
I didn't. No, I know I missed out.
Oh my God.
I know vague references, but
did you watch
so
the
I can
Hills?
Slightly keep up then. I didn't. No, I got to this late. You know,
Bachelor
was my first major reality franchise that I jumped into.
You know what you should
Beyond, do? I watched Girls Next Door when I was in high school because we got, for some reason, my dad, we had like 3, 5, and 9, but then something was weird with our cable and we also got E. So like Soup, Girls Next Door, E, True Hollywood Story, you know, like that whole thing. That's my
funny.
Jam.
I have a recommendation for you. I know that you don't want to go full Bravo, but you should watch The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Just started one episode in, first season of the
Ooh,
of the franchise.
Okay. I like that it's all right.
It's
I see
crazy.
That's the kind of shit that I'm
it's
after.
Crazy.
Like if I can get it on the ground floor, that's where I'm in.
It's going to be all the rage because it's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So you should get involved. Just saying.
All right. I'm on it.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right. It's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right. So Chasen, why else are they mad at him? They're saying he's fake. Like they're saying he wants to be an actor. Honestly, the way that Ed started talking about him, I was like, you're making it sound like he's a crisis actor or something. Like, I'm just like, what are you talking about? But there were some really good quotes, like just some ones that I've written down. Chasen trying to explain that, yes, he had feelings for Claire, but he's moved on to Tayshia. He has kept saying, I have pivoted. He's like, I pivot. It was a pivot. I have pivoted.
that's the thing is like this whole interaction was like, in the very beginning, I was in Jason's corner because I thought the accusation. I also like how they were phrasing it, the accusations at first. I was like, you know, especially in this day and age with other contestants that have had other accusations, it's like the word accusations for him potentially wanting more followers on Instagram feels a bit like a reach. But, you know, I think for me, I didn't really see him as someone who was like all in it for the followers. He just kind of doesn't seem... Yeah, he doesn't seem like conniving enough for that. Like, he just seems like, and I mean this lovingly, like simple. You know, he seems like a simple dude.
Simple man, just looking for a good summer fling.
Yeah, I don't think he's like out here trying to like really game this Bachelor world system. But I also think that he can get, you know, unfortunately, due to said, you know, simpleness, outmaneuvered, and I think we were seeing that.
Well, what did we learn about Ed that might have led to his outmaneuvering? Ed, he got a perfect score on his math SAT.
That's right. I was like, well, I was trying to, is it ACT, SAT? SAT. I got like all thrown off by, that's right. Okay.
So
which is pretty impressive.
It's impressive. That's completely besides the point. Ed is 36 years old. Ed has a career. He presumably took the SATs over half his life ago. Dude, do not tell your castmates your SAT score. It's so embarrassing. There's no reason to reference your SAT score after you've gotten into college. Then it's lost its value. It's over. Oh, yeah. You know, you moved on.
Like, I don't even remember mine. Like, not even like a range. You know, it's like I knew it was good. It was like not perfect like Ed over here, but you know, it was fine. It got me into like a fine college, but you know, if I couldn't even tell you like within 100, you know, what it was, or 200. I like forgot the scale entirely.
It has
the energy of someone who was like the quarterback on their high school football team. And 10 years later, they're still talking about the glory days of high school.
It's like Jerry O'Connell and can't hardly wait. Yes.
Exactly. It's not a good look.
It is really not. I have to say, I did find him carrying around the baby doll that he was given by being the loser of the grown man challenge pretty funny. He named the baby Carlos. And I did like that he was holding it for all his ITMs. I thought that was funny. It was like a cheap bit, but it worked for me.
Although he never held him by the head ever, never held him properly. That baby is not in a good way.
Oh my God. I know. And then Ed just really like Chasen, they're trying to turn into the villain. I didn't like Chasen, didn't make any sense, but Ed is just like, he was really the villainous one. First of all, he insulted, Chasen by saying it's a Zac Efron movie. I don't even know what that means.
It was just like such like this, like this conniving plot that you would want to just set up something just out of like a Zac Efron movie. Like it's the worst thing that you could do.
Was he trying to say he looked like Zac Efron or like was like pretty? I don't think Zac Efron.
I think he was literally just referencing the movie, which was so like, weird. All right, it's interesting. Also, you know what was, I mean, you know, we're going into Chasen and Ed a lot, but it was funny because they were clearly in the beginning of this teeing up Bennett to be the villain of this episode, not even
and
just this episode, but like, you know, and then all of a sudden they just like pivoted, you know, to use Chasen's word, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, I guess Bennett's fine now.
I know, it's true. Bennett, they really want him to be like a dick. They just want him to be like the American Psycho vibes, but he's actually like pretty fun. Like, he just seems like he's good to have around. She clearly finds him fun. I find him fun. Yeah. Tyler finds him fun. But yeah, so they've had to go with this Ed versus Chasen deal. And then Ed also yelled at him at one point, stop jibber jabbering, which of course reminded me of Biden to Trump in the first debate.
Also, just, like the jibber jabber thing, that's such like a weird word to say in a fight. Like I would never, if I was in an argument, I would just be like, you know, I'm so sick of your jibber jabber. It's so odd.
I know.
It's just such a weird choice.
It was just really just so strange. And I mean, Ed is a lock for paradise. If anyone in this cast, I think Ed is a lock. By giving him the baby, by like giving him a lot of these like one-liners in a fight, like this man, he will have a second life in down Mexico way.
I could see Ed being like the therapist of paradise. Not like a therapist of paradise, but like I can see him not actually vibing with anybody, and he's just one of those people who stays a long time, who kind of finds someone to give mutual roses out to the entire time, but he's mainly just like supporting his boys at Paradise.
One reason I think he'll like Paradise is I went back and I looked at his bio on the website, and one of his bullet points was he loves all-inclusive resorts. So he's going to love Sayulita.
Hell yeah. There it is.
I'm really excited for him. I also like, I like love hate Ed. Like, I don't want to spend time with him. I don't really like him, but I'm just sort of like, he was some good entertainment this week, more so than Chasen. He also, like, at one point they were fighting and like Tayshia's coming by and he's like, shut the fuck up. Like, he just is like trying to play it cool in front of her. And it's like, dude, this ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, also,
man.
You know what I like about him too is, especially with that point you brought out, was as soon as Tayshia was coming out, he's like trying to like cut it. But there were multiple points in Chasen and Ed's interactions where Chasen clearly was like trying to bury the hatchet and just like, okay, like let's just like move on. And Ed was like, no, I don't want to move on. I want to continue to be a dickhead to you.
Yeah. Also, Chasen saying that Ed had chicken legs, that's an insult.
Yeah.
That's like, just doesn't mean anything. It's not even really an insult. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, right. Like there's no one beyond maybe two people in that circle of guys that thought it was like, oh, that was a real scorcher.
It was just super duper weird. Oh God. Anyway, that ultimately gave way to the wrestling date, which was the second group date of the evening. I mean, in between there was the rose ceremony, which was just like such a nothing. Like I was just like, okay,
yeah.
Farewell to these three guys. One of whom, was not on the show. Two of whom were not on the show, like at all, I believe. Montel and the other guy who came in last week. I was like, okay, farewell. And then the wrestling
did. You know what I do wonder is like, so we didn't really get as much of Spencer this episode. Mm-hmm. We got him a little bit. He had like, you know, 30 seconds, but you have like, I hope that's, I don't know why I'm hoping for the best for Spencer over here, but I hope that Spencer has found other friends in the house. Cause I know his initial reception was not the warmest, and now his limousine buddies are leaving him. So he's just going to be a loner now. So
I know
we'll see.
There's Noah still. So he'll have Noah, yeah, baby Noah, who everyone, I just have to say, no one has ever increased how their like looks more than Noah getting rid of his mustache. Like it's honestly shocking.
It was like pretty, you know what, this is a callback to actually one of the only reality shows that I watched when I was a kid was Beauty and the Geek. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but I know about it.
Okay. So there's a, so for anybody who's listening, who watched that, there's a specific date that they had where all these guys just got makeovers. Mm. And this one guy literally just got like a haircut and they put a suit jacket on him. And he went from, it was like a striking difference. And, you know, it was a whole arc on that season, but he literally went from, you know, and I hate like putting numbers on people, but for guys it's not as bad. he went from like a 3 to like an 8. You know, just like immediately, just like with a singular haircut. That's all it took. Well, and it reminded me of that moment.
True for Noah as well. We're going to talk more about him for the wrestling date, but just for posterity's sake, the three guys who went home, Jay, Montel, and then this other guy who's, his name is Peter. He was one of the new guys. Him, Peter and Montel came in last week. I like don't think I could pick Peter out of a lineup. Like, there was nothing. Yeah. He didn't speak. He was so generic. I just got nothing from him. So Peter, farewell. I feel sorry for him. He's like came in for 10 seconds and then left. Okay. We hardly knew ye. Next, the wrestling date. My first question for you, I'm glad you brought up the it's not as bad for men. I think the Bachelor producers agree on many accounts. Do you find this wrestling date where like she puts the oil all over them, they're shirtless, like where does that compare to the dodgeball date for you in terms of like gratuitousness and inappropriateness?
Yeah, I think the dodgeball date was like overstepping. I mean, you know, none of these dates are my favorite, I'll say. Like I just think they're not really unique. And I think, you know, I would challenge the producers to find
watch.
Like dates that they haven't really. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, with this one, I'm not like offended by it, but it also like just doesn't do anything for me. Like there are certain dates where I just really like them. And with this, I'm like, oh, you know, with the dodgeball date, cause I definitely was, you know, I would remove Claire from this because I think people were being too hard on Claire in particular. And I was talking with a friend about this too. And I think it's because of like how they've had to operate. And I think they've switched their tactics a little bit more with Tayshia, but you know, because they don't have as many of these outside people, like these like celebrity guests, they're starting to get like, you know, wells just because they kind of figure their stuff out as the season progressed. But at the very beginning, it was like Claire's, you know, like Claire's yeah. hosting this thing, Claire's hosting this. So because of that, you know, there was like this faux ownership that she had mm-hmm. to take over the dodgeball bait, like it was her idea. And how dare she in particular make these guys like do this? I think where the dodgeball date went too far was like them stripping down completely, yeah. Cause I think a lot of these guys want to be like taking their shirts off and,
Chasing.
They're all like jacked out of their damn minds, you know? Yeah. So I don't think it's really all that. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of like what we sign up for with shows like this. But I think, with the dodgeball thing, it was just like, you could clearly see that people were uncomfortable. Right.
Yeah. Shout out to Brendan. He was just like, no, I'm not doing that. Shout out to him, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Love. And listen, this is a Brendan fan podcast. Love Brendan here.
Yeah. I'm a fan of him too. I mean, I don't think like my fandom is quite as high as just like I've seen on Twitter and Instagram of people just like being gaga to, you know, the heavens with him, but you know, you know what I think about him? He's got like a different aura to him than a lot of the other guys in Bachelor Nation, right?
He seems regular in a good way. He just seems like a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I said this to a friend. He reminded me of like Rick Moranis as like a hot guy on The Bachelor. You know that actor from Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Yeah. He kind of reminds me of him.
Yeah. I can see that.
And he just like, he has like a humility about him that's not fake. Like, a lot of these guys fake humility, but I don't know. He just seems genuine. And
how old is Brendan again? I'm forgetting.
I think he's 30.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I actually almost thought he was going to be a little bit older, but I think that is a benefit of having people who are in their 30s. You know, I mean, totally. You get a little bit more like this. They figure themselves out and they don't like seem as much of a carbon copy of each other because they're a little bit more fleshed out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So my thing about this date versus a dodgeball date is like, first of all, there wasn't like one uniform. Like if you just looked, like the guys were wearing various different trunks, which I think probably allowed for like a personal level of comfort, which like maybe is small, but I do think makes a big difference, right? Like if you're wearing something you're comfortable in, you don't feel as like exploited or exposed or whatever it is. So I think that makes a really big difference. Plus, there was no like walk of shame afterwards. And I thought the oil thing was like just kind of gross. And like Tayshia's like, this is every girl's dream. And like as a woman, I can say it's not my dream. So I question that. But like I think there's just also like a level of kind of like oily wrestling is like weirdly like in the zeitgeist and for better or for worse. I'm not trying to like excuse it, but it's like a concept that we are all kind of like familiar with. Like I thought of old school with the lube wrestling, KY Jelly, great movie. So I think that like there's a frame of reference for that kind of thing, which doesn't necessarily make it better. It's still like pretty grotesque. It's just like, this is stupid. Just have them wrestle.
I think it's like within like the, like all of these dates, like there's going to be a certain margin of error in a way, you know, that like you expect.
That's a great point.
And I think this is within that. Right. And then the whole dodgeball date that was just like, no, like you're this doing too much here.
Yeah. And also it was just like really amplified by Blake remaining naked, like for the whole thing. I'm just like, what is that? Anyway, I was just like, I don't love this, but it's definitely not as bad. So anyway, and then ultimately it was a good date because it gave us a lot of Joe and he really got to shine and that was great. And I just feel like it was very much needed. Like I feel like people were like clamoring for Joe because he is like a legit doctor. And we're like, can't we hear from this guy? And we finally did. And I was so excited. Yeah.
No, I feel like if I were on this show, I would react the exact way that Joe did to this date and just like his commentary on it, where it's like, you know, listen, like you're a great guy and, you know, like, I wish you the best of luck. And when he was saying like he was nervous going into it, it's like, that would 100% be me. All these dates, like, you know, regardless of the conversation around whatever being like gratuitous and like kind of analyzing that back and forth, I more don't like the dates where like people can get like really damn hurt on like a date like this.
Yes, there was injuries again.
And you know, it's one thing where it's like there's like little injuries where it's like someone gets cut or whatever, but as someone who I wrestled for one singular year in middle school, so I'm an expert, clearly, but I tore my meniscus wrestling.
Oh my God.
It takes is someone who doesn't know what they're doing to like grab your leg, tweak it in a weird way. So, you know, we'll get into, you know, the Jason thing again, but I was on Ed's side with this, you know, where like he bowed out and again, okay. You know,
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Weird editing with this Ed situation. So they built it up like it was being a big Chasen versus Ed brawl. And then Ed says he couldn't do it because he has chronically dislocating shoulders. No doctor here. I'm no Dr. Joe. I believe that to be a thing. It does seem like if you are an athlete of any kind, like your joints like are, you know, subject to injury. And so I like believe that. I also just feel like Ed... It seemed like Ed had told a producer about this, like probably at the beginning of the date. And then they were like, okay, go tell Chris Harrison when we can shoot it.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
I'm like, sure. Yeah, no, I can easily see that.
They made it otherwise just like, why did this guy wait till the end of the date to be like, oh, sorry, I'm not doing it. That just makes him look worse. They made it seem like he was afraid.
Yeah. It's like, let me not go to like a producer or someone who's like actually organizing this date. Let's go to Chris Harrison like 5 seconds before I'm supposed to get on the mat. Well, plus two, like, I don't know the weight to these guys, but like, you know, Ed and Chasen, I mean, they already had like their interaction where, you know, like Chasen's a bigger dude than Ed. Yeah. Like they would not be in the same weight class in wrestling. You know, it's like, I can see why he didn't want to get in this ring with someone who clearly had it out for him and was saying stuff like that was another thing with Chasen. What the hell? Like he was out here saying like, oh, he's not going to wake up tomorrow. Like, what is wrong with you, sir? That's not
that
like
super weird.
You know,
it was like he was injected with steroids. Also, one thing we skipped over was he was like, they're Batman. It's fine. I'm Superman. No, actually I'm Wolverine. And then he like runs away with the Wolverine metaphor. Cause that just didn't make any sense. As you said, poor Chasen, very simple.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of injuries, a lot of just guys going at it. It was hard to tell if there was like a competition aspect of this or not. But whatever. It ultimately culminated with Noah jumping into the ring. And one thing I found really funny throughout this date is they couldn't really tell if it was like a wrestling date or like a fighting date or a boxing date, because they had the guys in boxing in like boxing robes. They had a wrestler and a UFC fighter up the top to like introduce it. And I was like, no one really knows what's going on. And then Noah jumps in like he's like in the fucking octagon from UFC. Like, what sport are we emulating here? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a very off-brand mixed martial arts situation. Where it's like, just come with your own fighting style. You know, if you know like some karate, then have at it. You know, just go for it.
Yeah.
Any type of fighting, I guess.
Yeah. And then Noah storms in and he does not win, but then he gets to be a part
of the storms in
party.
With pants.
Pants.
With pants, with jeans, with jeans. Like, I feel like though, I know he didn't actually win, but I feel like the decision should have gone his way because of the jeans. Cause I like, you know, I don't even like, I mean, even if I've like jogged in jeans, you know, if I'm like trying to catch a door that somebody's holding for me, it's not a pleasant experience just doing activities in jeans. So wrestling, I don't know how those jeans didn't split, because like when people are getting taken down and like they're sprawling out so that they don't get grabbed or whatever, how did those jeans not split? Those are some high quality jeans, apparently.
It's a great question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I just was like, no, it was like, I haven't been on the show yet, so here's my chance. That I just feel like that's what he was thinking. And then Bennett reveals that he had been there. He's like, he's been here, what, 10 days? So that was really helpful, like timeline point. Thank you, Bennett. That's pretty long, 10 days, and there's nothing else to show from you being on this program. That's bad sign for you, Noah.
Yeah. I actually didn't even catch that, but man, that's wild that they've been there that long.
I know.
I mean, 10 days doesn't sound like a lot in the grand scheme of things, in this context it's like, wow, that's like a, you know, you're gonna get ready to get married at this point.
I was just like, okay, welcome to the party, Noah. And then he gets invited to the cocktail party and the guys are so mad, and he also gets the rose for this date, which doesn't really make any sense. Whatever, she's like, sure, Tayshia, I guess that seems like a producer thing. But I have no interest in like this being mad at Noah. Like, I'm just like, okay, who cares about this guy?
I think a theme for this season is, there's two themes, right? One is putting the ass suffix on like literally everything now, where mm-hmm. there's just like everything's like grown ass man, big ass eyes, like everything's just like something ass. So that's one theme. Second theme is these guys being mad at the other guys for like reasons that don't really make a lot of sense. Cause you know, and I know that they all want to just have drama for the sake of it. You're going to have these situations just born out of nothing. But, you know, like them being mad at Noah for jumping the fence when like it wasn't like he just did it on his own. You know, it was like called out. Like everybody had the opportunity to enter. And it's like he got to it before. So like, well, what do you want? And then, you know, if you fight, I don't know. I think you know, if he had just like fought and, you know, maybe cut his knee or something like that, and then he's not even allowed to participate in the rest of the evening, that would be pretty shitty.
I know.
So I think that was the right thing to do. But yeah, like there's just like this running theme, like when they were mad at the new guys when they first showed up last week, I'm like, why are you mad about this? This is like, there are other reasons to critique other people. This does not feel like one of them.
In no way was this their fault. They didn't plan this. Like they're just going along with it. So don't be mad at them. Be mad at your producers, dude. They don't make any sense.
Yeah, right. And again, it's like the mad at Chasen thing for like, how dare you use the same words to describe Tayshia as you would Claire? How could you do this? It's just interesting. It's an interesting choice to be mad at.
Do you think this is a good season so far overall?
I think it's getting there. I think, you know, I don't even fault Claire as much as a lot of people did because I think that was just like a really weird situation across the board.
It was good TV.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just, there's another theme of whiplash, like all over the place. But I do think that, I'm really liking watching Tayshia now, because I think she's really engaged with the people she's with. And I think she's giving a proper effort to get to talk to everybody. And I do really like the conversation she has with people. And I think she articulates her concerns and points well. I don't think she gets that pulled into like drama yet. And when she does, I think she keeps it pretty short. I think it's shaping up to be a better season.
I think she's interested in like a lot of the right guys too. Like one other guy we just didn't talk about is Zach, who like comes in to squash things among Chasen and Ed. And Zach seems like a pretty good guy where he's just like talking about like ready to be married. This is actually kind of another like poignant moment. I think that Tayshia like kind of is like getting the best out of these guys. Cause when she, and he was saying like, he's like ready to think about settling down and having kids. And she's like, oh, because everyone else is saying it. And he's like, no, because it feels right. That was true or false. I don't know. That was like kind of sweet. He seems like a good guy too. So like she seems interested in Brendan, Ben and Zach. And I think she just like liked that Noah put out the effort. That's why he got the rose. Like it seems like there's a mix of like Tayshia going along with like what's best for the show and also like what she's actually interested in. I'm putting my money on Ben though. Tonight was such a weird Ben edit.
I was thinking the same too, as far as, you know, I'm kind of actually forgetting how many guys we have left now, but I think
started with 20. I think we're down to 17.
Okay. Cause like the guys that we've seen a lot from, at least like this past episode, you know, we saw a lot of Ben, we saw more of Zach at the very end. You know, we saw a little bit of Ivan, you know, like I like all of them. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
it's a lot of the
leads in the past. I mean, look at like Peter, look at Hannah, like they all kept people around that everybody hated, you know, whether it's like the Victoria Fullers or like the Luke Pell. What the hell's his last name?
Luke Parker.
Oh, geez. That's what it is. Okay. Too many Lukes. you know, so like we don't have that. I don't think we have that same thing happening because there's no one here that I'm like, how do you still have this person here? You know,
I agree. That's such a good point. Let's do some quick hits on Bachelor Nation news. Number one, two rumors. One, Kelly and Peter engaged. They say no.
I don't know. Okay.
Internet says yes.
Well, also like they're bullshitters though. So I don't trust them at all. Cause they were trying to say like that they weren't even dating for a really long time when they were like living together. It's like, get out of here. We all know what's happening here. You're not just like pals shacking up and quarantining together. We know what's happening here. So I think they're probably engaged.
I'm going to go with engaged as well.
Yeah. I think they're saving it for like the People cover or whatever.
Yeah, that's a paid announcement. Yeah,
exactly. Which like props. I understand that. So I think it's a capitalism choice.
I agree with you. Number two, the Instagram account Demois is getting like a lot of attention this week. It has a profile in the Times, profile in Elle. I think that the woman who runs it like is like doing press appearances, although like still anonymously. I've got a lot of my own personal objections to Demois. However, that account has flamed rumors that Dale's cheating on Claire with other women around New York City. And that one, I don't know. I like really hope not. Like, I just feel like Claire seems really happy. So I hope that's not true. It also would be really dumb. But you know, if you're not used to fame, you might not.
Yeah. I'm in the same thinking where I really hope not too. Cause you know, as weird of a wild and windy road as Claire's part of the Claytia season was, you know, it was, I don't know. I think it was genuine. I really do think it was genuine. And I think some of the moments they had there were just like very cute. So I am like rooting for them. So I hope that's not the, and also too, I really like Dale, you know, I just like,
seems like a good guy. Let's have it not be true.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it's not, I'm kind of, unless we see something a little bit more, I mean, I do think there's something to be said about like where there's smoke, there's fire, which I do actually believe too. So I'm kind of going against my own belief system, but I don't know. I hope it's not true.
I'm going
to continue to hold out hope and we'll see.
Me too. They really seem they form a connection. Oh, Claire, we're wishing the best for you.
Yeah.
And for you too, Tayshia.
Yeah.
Brett, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I'll be back on Thursday, as always, and we'll do more Bachelor then. Thank you so much for listening.